Hey, welcome to the January 2017 edition of the Bizarre Briefing. I'm Bryce Castillo. Hi, what's
up?
Hey.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. I'm Brant Hughes.
He's Brant Hughes.
Max Gillen.
Oh! This is the show where we talk all the behind-the-scenes stuff of Bizarre Magic. Things like Scam School, Modern Rogue, Scam Stuff, Night Attack, the giveaway videos, and all sorts of podcasts and fun, cool things right in your content holes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but
yeah.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Okay.
Smash that button. This is it's a new year. Oh, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming back.
2017.
Yeah. Whoa. It is way howdy.
Yeah.
It's a tough one so far.
Got there.
Remember when 2016 was a real bad time? And it is time for another Bizarre Briefing. So let's talk about, what do we want to talk about first?
That's a big question.
That's a really big question.
Let's start off with Brian's out of town.
So, yeah, that's right. Brian is out of town. He's talked about it in some places. He talked about it on Night Attack, which will be coming out in a day or so.
Okay.
So I feel okay talking about it, at least to this level. Brian and Justin went to Miami.
Okay. Gotcha.
To film some things.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
That we aren't making. So if you think about the last few times that Brian and Justin, to think about the last times Brian and Justin have been in the same place filming things that we're not making, you can pretty easily assume what it will be.
So they're going on their own little vacation.
They're going pretty on their much. Own like vacation. They're saying, hey, let's go places,
right?
Comma other person, and get paid for it. And that's where he'll be gone all the rest of this week, and then we've got a show in New York, I think, a live magic show in New York that Brian will be flying from Miami to Austin for less than a day to set up all the bags, and then we'll go to New York, and then the same day I will come and pick up the other bags and go to New York, and we will go to the show.
Man.
Nice.
It's a doozy.
A little bit of a doozy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's what it is. We're making it work. Speaking of travel, we also just got done with PAX South. This is the royal we. Brian and Justin originally was going to go down for the Royal Rumble, which took place on Saturday and Sunday. And then Brian was like, hey, that's really close by. PAX is a thing. So the idea came about like, hey, you're close by. I'll be in San Antonio anyway. All Curly's friends and all sorts of Diamond Club people are going to be there. So let's try and do a live show. So we did a live show set up in the Leap and Lizard Pub, which is in downtown San Antonio. And it ended up pretty good. We had Anthony Carboni came out. Newman came out. And
still haven't met either of them.
Oh, really?
Which is crazy.
They're both really cool guys.
Yeah. I would imagine so.
They're around.
Was Anthony wearing his Snapchat glasses?
No, but he had... He was filming stuff for, you know, Bite Jacker's back. And so he had like a little, it looked like a little like point and shoot camera on a gimbal, like a really fancy gimbal.
Yeah.
And so that's how he was recording stuff for Bite Jacker and like, I guess his vloggy things. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. I kind of want to look into that, but we did did a pretty good show. Mikey had a quiz about B movies from the 80s. B action movies.
Excellent.
Action B movies.
Best genre.
I was really surprised at how many of the movies everybody on the panel ended up knowing, because Mikey beforehand was like, I play tested this with somebody before, and they like had to stop. They hated it, so they like were so frustrated by it immediately. But it ended up good, so you should check that out. That should be on the Night Attack feeds in a day or so. It's I sent it to Cheeto, but Cheeto was also at PAX and Cheeto was sick, so you should hopefully see that tomorrow. So that's Night Attack. PAX was pretty cool also. That's for another time, I think.
Fair enough.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a very small show, so there's not a whole lot of big things. They had the Switch there, but I didn't get to play with it, so you know, whatever.
No. Next time.
Yeah.
It's growing pretty fast, though, right?
I don't know.
PAX South?
PAX South. I honestly don't know. Like, Saturday tickets sold out. Saturday tickets always seem to sell out, but then the Friday and Sunday ones don't. And it doesn't seem like the venue or the attendance. I don't know the numbers for any of this stuff.
Right.
But I have also been there the past the 3 years that they've done it. So,
right.
So I don't know.
Weird.
Mikey did his panel, a live movies with Mikey.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Cool.
They did a live We Have Concerns too. Chris Straub and Mikey were on one of those episodes. So, God, a lot of fun.
I really need to meet Chris as well. I've been a fan of his for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have made the trip.
Should have.
Oh, well.
But yeah, also not really because I had work to do. So.
Well, right.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that was on Thursday.
Things
yeah.
to get done.
So that's PAX. Let's talk about... Oh, while we're talking about podcasts, this is a very brief thing.
Okay.
Brian, Justin, and Andrew do the Weird Things podcast on Sunday afternoons right now.
Right.
We have, over the past, like, month or two, we've had to move the live episode around a lot just because of, you know, if we're doing a Modern Rogue shoot, those will go long and Weird Things is kind of earlier in the day. Or if, like, all of this PAX stuff meant that we had to do it super early because yesterday people were in and around and traveling and all sorts of stuff. So it sounds like as soon as even this next week, Weird Things will be on Mondays instead of Sundays before Cord Killers.
Oh. Interesting. Wow. It's going to be a slot.
It is. And that like that's going to definitely cement Monday as like a real like power, like rock block sort of day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got DTNS and Justin does politics on Monday. And then there's Hotline Monday and Cord Killers and now Weird Things. So that'll be we'll have a final time for you guys soon, but it will be before Cord Killers. My worry about that time slot was that supposedly Brian used Mondays to prepare for Cord Killers, but it sounds like by having less time, he will feel more motivated to get stuff set up.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
He should use Sunday to prepare. Theoretically.
Yeah.
But maybe he
and he might. Well, because in terms of prepare, it's reading articles and he'll probably want to do that day of, which he can still do because that won't take too long to go through, and then watch the shows that he needs to catch up on, and he can do those on Sundays. So sure. I think it will work out, but that'll be nice for me because that's one less day I have to make a round trip out here.
Sure.
On the regular for a podcast. And hopefully it will mean more stability in terms of the live streams. Mm. So keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye on the social media, and we'll probably have a finalized date and time for all of that.
And theoretically, it'll be nice for Remix and stand-ups because we always shoot those on Sundays.
Right, you'll have more time.
We could shoot early in the day or later. Who cares? There's no time limit.
Exactly.
So
nice.
And then I can go out on Saturday night and not have to worry about being around for an afternoon show.
Yeah.
So
that's a balance.
So that's that. Now that we have, that's kind of the housekeeping. Kind of got the housekeeping out of the way, I feel like.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's talk about this because this was like a big thing that took up. Did we talk about? No, we couldn't have talked about this last episode, but we got a drone.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Now we've used it.
Yeah. So we had scheduled a Modern Rogue shoot, which for context, we haven't had a Modern Rogue shoot since before the Pruno episode went up.
Right.
So it had been like 3 months since we had shot any episodes.
But we also shot a lot of episodes in a very short time.
Like yeah. six like, in one, like 2 days.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Which I enjoy that we do that.
Sure. Yeah.
But it just meant that over the holidays, we didn't need to get together and we could bank a lot of stuff earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we scheduled a shoot. Was this 3 weeks ago now? 2 or 3 weeks ago now?
Yeah, three sounds like right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And it was supposed to be another one of those big shoot days. Like we had 2 days blocked out and it was going to be optimistically 8.
Yeah. And it always starts off, you know, optimistic. Sure. And then we say, oh, this can't do this. We got to do this. Yeah, we'll do this. Which is fine.
And so, we had a start time of 9 a.m.
Push that back a little bit.
Yeah.
So, we woke up in time for it, and then Jason's like, hey, let's push it back a little bit. Let's push back like 45 minutes. And I was like, goodbye me. Like, I hate being up in the morning. That gives me time to wake up.
Yeah.
Right. So, I get there at 9:45. And pretty much everybody files in. It's like super densely foggy, which is really uncommon for
super
around here.
Weird.
Yeah.
Right. Especially that late into the day. Like just
like really low visibility. Like maybe 100, 200 feet. Yeah. Really low visibility.
Ghostly. Yeah.
And it was really cool. And then we show up at 9:45. Brian's barely dressed and eating breakfast. And
yeah, the word from Brian is, I'm sick.
Well, I don't know that we really knew how sick he was until the end of the shoot.
The joke during the first episode that we shot was Brian was on like double Dayquil and was very like drugged out of his mind.
Yeah. Yeah, so we end up pushing back like another 45 minutes while Brian's like getting into character, so to speak. And then, yeah, so we come up here in the studio and shoot an episode for 45 minutes or so, which probably should have been like a 20-minute episode, but it was a little loose.
It was very discussion-based, so it's like you want to have more options casual. Or not. And also... Yeah. Sure. Brian definitely was like fucking
a little. It's kind of like when you stay up like just a little too late,
and you're just loose.
A little bit of
and then we
have this episode that we haven't shot yet, but I wanted to give it like an ambitious intro. I was like, oh, well,
almost a skit.
I want to do this thing with Modern Rogue intros, maybe not always, but like I want to do a thing that where it's maybe a little bit more structured, like just like I like having like sort of a structured setup and then like an improv payoff. So that way it sort of mixes elements that they're good at, but also we can do a little bit more like camera work, or we could do a little bit more whatever. And kind of tell a story.
And this the meat and potatoes of this used the drone.
Yeah.
In terms of tracking a car shot.
Which is
really cool.
Like so I always hear about, you know, when you use like certain equipment, like you're gonna inflate your shoot time or whatever.
Yes.
Intellectually I know that. But I was like, we'll just get the shot. We'll just get it.
Now, meanwhile, we're dealing with very low visibility, very wet. It was foggy conditions. And wet,
mm-hmm. right.
And it was pretty windy. It was a little windy.
A little windy, and also nobody had really used the drone that much before.
Right.
I'd had like one day of flying it around a bit, and Brian had a couple times of flying around with it. So we were all kind of learning about it.
Yeah.
And also the shot I wanted to do was
kind of particular,
ambitious.
Yeah.
It was like a super precise shot of like tracking Brian driving and then pulling up to Jason's car and then like stopping next to his window and looking into his window while Jason does a thing. And it's all like timed and precise.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to fly a drone in like really narrow, precise like parameters.
Yeah.
So
especially, and then not only that, we had on any other day, the lighting would have been very cool and pretty.
Yeah.
But there were definitely a few shots where having not direct light screwed up blocking different things.
Yeah. So it was challenging, but also it was kind of fun, like learning experience of, oh, well, now we know kind of what we're capable of at this moment in time.
So we probably spent, with lunch, we took a lunch break, probably 2.5 or 3 hours working on those shots.
I would say
with lunch, because like we took a little bit for, because to charge the batteries work for about 30 minutes and then they take about 30 minutes to charge or so.
Yeah, I would say 30 minutes optimistic. As far as usage, usually it's like closer to 20, but sometimes more. And then charge can be like 45 minutes or something.
And so we get the shots. And we had done a little bit of test footage to get our bearings with the drone, like with the guys in the street, and we'll just stand here and look cool. Meanwhile,
there's all this fog, because there was still fog at this point. It was like 1 p.m. and there's still a ton of fog.
Yeah, and so Brian probably every five minutes or so would say, you know, I just mean it would be really cool. Like, we have the fog right now. If we went and used the drone and did some cool stuff with the drone right now, I don't know. The weather's pretty cool. I don't know if you think we should do it.
Right.
Which is Brian's way of saying, I would like to do the thing that I just suggested that you suggest for me.
Yeah.
And then we did that. So we went out into the, there's like a green belt area behind Brian's house where We got a lot of really, well, a lot of, at least from what I saw, looked really cool footage of the guys walking around and doing cool stuff. And
mm-hmm. yeah,
that is the footage now that we have in the new opening for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of like bringing the drone down and wiping it off because all of that moisture in the air would fog up the lens. And
right.
yeah. there was even a point to where there was actual like
an actual drop.
Drops like running down the lens and stuff. But yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff after we coaxed Brian into putting shoes on, which he was really against.
Brian loves wearing flip-flops because his idea is, if I sweat through my feet, I won't sweat through my face.
Right.
But also, he was also very adamant that we do these, like, shots and drone shots and things. So at the end of the day, it was just him being kind of a crybaby about putting boots on. Yeah. Like, dude, it's not even that hot outside.
Yeah.
So we went and did that for about an hour or so.
And we've got a lot of good footage that we haven't used yet, and we don't know what to use it for.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a good idea to get that footage.
Yeah. We got... Yeah.
It'll be useful later.
My feeling is like... It could be fun. Like, if there was a section of the website that had, if like the contact or like the cast pages, maybe that's somewhere where a video background of would be an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
a little thing like that, a miscellaneous thing. But that was pretty cool. So, we, as a part of it, we got a new Modern Rogue intro out of it, which combined some of that drone footage and the learn how to play guitar. Quickly episode.
Yeah.
The little I think that was in the saw in the episode.
Mm-hmm. It was at the very end.
Yeah. So tell me about the change. Tell me about the changing, because we've talked about it. We were hinting and like saying, hey, we should think about doing a different sort of thing for the intro. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing it. So you want to dissect that a little bit for us?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been wanting to change the Modern Rogue intro for months and months. That's like sort of a thing that I do where I just want to change stuff all the time, constantly, because I presume that at some point, if you keep changing things, they will just get better over uh-huh. time.
Yeah.
And like the original Modern Rogue intro was sort of pieced together pretty early on.
Yeah, I remember seeing the logo before we started making episodes, mm-hmm. just in terms of the screen line effect, the sort of screen effect and right, digital right. effects and stuff.
So I've been wanting to change it for a long time, and then we got into the new year or so, and I was like, this month it has to change. Like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. One way or another, whether it's good or bad, it's gonna change. Mm. And so it just happened that was around the time that we got all the drone footage, and then
was it the feeling of it needing to change? Was it just that what you mentioned, feeling kind of antsy and like wanting change for change's sake?
Well, so there is actually like a really practical reason why we want to change. Mm. So let's go back to the beginning. I actually have a GIF for you.
Oh, please!
So this is the original inspiration for the.
So this was inspiration for this new.
The title credits.
For the old one. So before Modern Rogue even started, I just saw this GIF and I was like, "Yo, this is a really cool thing," and it's like a nuclear reactor. Going off in this water containment thing, and it's got this amazingly like bright blue vibrant color to it, and,
a glow.
Yeah, and I was just like in my mind space, that was thematically where I sort of wanted Modern Rogue to go to. It's like kind of sciencey and kind of cool and weird. Mm-hmm. I kind of built it off of that, and so it's just like a bunch of After Effects layers layered on top of each other and nested sequences, and I got optical flares for that. I had to go buy that, and then it was very pieced together, and then all of the text in there has basically an LCD effect, mm-hmm. Where it's just like there's grids on top of it and everything, and there's a bit of a glow to it. So I kind of wanted like science and technology and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it worked really well for a long time.
It was nice and simple, and it was very quick.
Yeah, and so basically the way that works is almost all of it is rendered out into its own file, and then that's applied on top of a video in Premiere as a screen effect, and then the title that scans in is dynamically linked from After Effects. So I just change that every episode. But then we got to a certain point last year where we started using Kulla's music, and so I kind of shifted away from Pond 5 music as much, and I really wanted to, you know, like, he puts his music out for free for people to use, and I wanted to, like, credit him appropriately. So not only is he in the description, but I was like, oh, it'd be really cool if I put him in the credits thing on the title. So I was like, well, why don't I just update this and put him in there? And while I'm updating it, why don't I actually accurately put all of the names of the people who worked on that episode? Because I'm sure, as you can imagine, I'm very fastidious and I like to be detail-oriented.
Really?
Yeah. And so I, you know, it was one of those things where, like, John was on the credits for every episode, and I was like, John doesn't really, like, I love John, but he doesn't have anything to do with any of these episodes. And so I started every week putting in the name of the people who made the music, and all of the accurately include all the people who worked on the episode. Unfortunately, in order to do that, I had it's so intertwined that I had two ways to go about it. Either one, I can update the original file, dynamically link it into Premiere, and then render it out and do it kind of like how the title scans in, right? Or two,
I can make a new intro.
Well, I can do the exact same thing, but then render it out in After Effects and import that file into Premiere and then use that as a scan, and that's like the whole thing, right? And I found out that way, even though it's much more cumbersome, produces better results, because for whatever reason, dynamically linking it, the text gets all screwed up with the sort of LCD effect. And so it, like, is compressed enough that it makes it hard to read, which I don't know why there would be more compression with dynamic link, because you're just reading from the source file. But there is. So,
well, you know, they just updated the way dynamic links work, so they're supposed to be faster, but I suspect that's probably a function of
rate
it.
Of decompression.
Some sort of scaling thing.
Maybe. I don't know. But there was definitely a period of time where just every week I was like going in and rendering out a gig file of this title screen and then putting it in, and it was a whole thing. And so I was like, I would love a new intro where I don't have to render stuff out every time. And so I basically wrote out a design doc in my notebook, and I was like, okay, here's a bunch of themes that I think are cool and make sense for Modern Rogue. Here are a bunch of, like, practical utility purposes I need out of the title. So I need text, and I need that text to be directly editable in Premiere, so that way it simplifies everything and makes it efficient. And just, like, it needs to be this long, it needs to have these things on it, it needs to do this. And as with everything, when I decide to do some sort of design, it ends up being with what assets I have on hand. So, like, Scam School Remix, when I first designed Scam School Remix, it was like, I was thinking, like, Hotline Miami. I was really big in Hotline Miami right around the time that came out. There's even like early comps of, like, palm trees going by the side or whatever. And I was like, this just isn't working. Like, let's simplify it.
Lots of hidden Russian in the background.
The whole design aesthetic of Scam School Remix was based off of some B-roll footage I shot for the Scam School book just, like, 2 weeks before, or a couple weeks before. So we got, like, this really good close-up of like, the amber golden beer at a bar down the street or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is, like, a really good color. So I started layering that into all of the assets, and I started working that into the design of that, just because that's what we had immediately done. Same thing with Behind the Scam. If people remember, there was a certain point where Behind the Scam went from being one thing to very much being a totally different thing. And, like, we still use
a lot of...
For the most part, most of those assets from that redesign.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was a thing where late Thursday night one week, I was working on Behind the Scam, and I was like, I hate this so much. I just want all of it to change.
Yeah.
And so I just worked with assets that I found on old hard drives and started piecing it together.
Yep.
So Modern Rogue, I get to a tipping point, and I'm like, I just need to change this. And we had gotten that footage, and I was in my mind, I had already done early mock-up designs for title stuff, which are very different. They're like really vibrant and colorful and stuff.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't clicking. And then when we got that footage, I was like, okay, it's not exactly what I wanted for the title, but it's something to work with, and it's easy, and I can implement it this week. Yeah. So I did that.
And I think you still have the framework to make changes, or like if that back video is a different thing or something, that's not the weirdest thing.
Sure.
Stuff changes all the time.
Right. And make no mistake, it will change more. It's already changed in the two times that I've used it.
Oh, really?
Not visually, but sound design has changed a bit.
Oh, okay. Very smart.
But it will also probably change visually. I would love to do like a cool spy intro, because I think spy is like the perfect vocation for Modern Rogue, because it like so much of
I mean, I guess that is technically what a rogue is.
Yeah, I mean, spy in popular culture is by definition a warrior and is often presented as gentleman.
Yeah.
And has a tremendous roguish quality.
Yeah.
True.
So like
a scoundrel, you might say.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
I would love to build something out of that, which actually...
Do you remember the early ideas for how a Modern Rogue episode would start? I remember when we talked about the early concepts and like we were coming up with ideas for episodes. And the idea was that I don't know if we were... This was still... We still weren't doing like extra credits or anything, but at some point... The idea was that each episode would be what your different stat buff would be.
Uh-huh.
So, like, episode, we're going to up your attack with...
There were mock-ups for that as well.
Yeah. And it would be, like, RPG-ish or Skyrim-ish somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm glad...
Oh, that's awful.
I'm glad we did not do that.
Well, so also...
Because that would have been also very intricate and probably way too layered for something that would... As short as it is now.
Yeah. So what was going to happen in addition to that is originally we were going to make a glyph for every single episode.
Oh, God, the glyph.
So that way we could like wrap them around and incorporate them in more like rogue products.
Yeah.
And so like I had designs of that radiation intro that had like a box in it for glyphs and had text for that.
Right.
But that kind of just never came to fruition, which is great because that would have been
too
much.
That
would have
been painful.
I
mean, yeah.
It's yeah. Well, I really like the new intro, and I think you're gonna take it into even better places.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It's good. It's good.
Max.
Yo.
So we did a store video, gosh, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, huh? Where we announced the new mystery boxes.
Oh, yes. That's right. Was a thing that happened.
So I guess first thing, we'll just do a little bit more of housekeeping on this. You've probably already noticed, but the giveaway store videos are becoming less frequent. Right now, we're thinking they're going to be about once a month or so, every 3 or 4 weeks, as
needed,
appropriate.
Prescribed.
I think part of it is that we had a ton of releases last year, and in terms of like that as an expansion force, it was pretty marginal. I would say, in short terms at least. So. We're at least for now trying to sort of pare back how many giveaway videos we do and store announcement videos that we do. So you'll see less of those, but we'll still have giveaways associated with those. And the last one that we did was for the what was the name we ended up Mystery Jackbox?
Jackpot Mystery Box.
Not the video game series from You Don't Know Jack. And it as for the numbers, I'm not a numbers guy. I don't know the numbers for the store, but it did sound like we've had an amazing response to it, that we've had a lot of people ordering them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the irony of it. There's too many,
yeah,
which is hilarious. But
So I know we had a few comments that we've shared internally within the past few days of like people like kind of not knowing where stuff is. And part of it is because they are literally being hand packed. Right. I mean, there are hundreds of orders and they're just being hand packed.
Yeah.
So if you ordered one and you're waiting, thank you for your patience. It's tough, right?
Yeah, no, it's insane. It's me like grabbing something thing off a box, and it's like, oh, this looks good. I'll give this to this person and pack it up and send it off, and the robot will slap a shipping label on it, and it's like, great, thank you. So it's like, yeah, oh, I only need to do 800 more. That's not a problem.
Yeah,
that's the actual number. It's terrible.
So we talked about, did we end up deciding that we would do emails after the fact of like, the part of it is that we are also in, like, this is our Island of Misfit Toys sort of thing for the year. So instead of like saying these are the B grade products that we're offering, they are a part of these mystery jackpots. Mm. And it sounded like there was one of the first ideas was that we would have like a letter that would say, oh, here's what you got. This scam school book was signed to the wrong person, so we can't sell it, but it's good enough for anybody. It's still a book.
You sucker.
Sucker. Yeah. Here's also like a whole scam pack or something. Did we end up deciding we would do emails for that sort of thing?
We kind of had an email that would just update people and say like, well, you know, thanks for playing and we're working on this kind of thing. But we did decide to have like kind of an insert letter that was like, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Thanks for your, you know, gambling with us. Here's what, you know, you might get in the box. Here's this cool kind of stuff and all that, just to kind of like personalize, because there's some history there too.
Right.
A lot of stuff that we haven't offered before. The scam pack was like the first thing the store ever sold. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Boy, was it ever.
Yeah. and then we stopped selling it. We stopped having it for a while.
Right.
Some of our combo items are like the tavern has the stuff that a scam pack has in it.
Yeah.
But it's not a scam pack. It's just those things.
Right, exactly.
So somebody in the chat is asking, are they fulfilled from Austin or from the warehouse? So if I've got it right, the $20 ones are from here.
Correct.
And then the $50 ones are being packed at our warehouse.
Yeah, at our warehouse in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Which is ironic because we just had realized that it's like, well, we have all these random numbers and all this random stuff. What if we accidentally send a brew kit to a 12-year-old?
Right.
Which happened. That was my mistake.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was really awkward. I get this, like, angry email from this mom. It's like, excuse me, but why is my son brewing beer in the bathroom? It's like,
oh, my gosh.
I'll fix that.
Ooh, boy.
It was like, so I guess we're going to have to put down some analytical numbers on this. This is not so roulette anymore.
Yeah. it's a learning process. We're all figuring it.
Exactly. Yeah. Trial by fire. Thanks, John.
I guess that is a sort of risk of selling. Here's how to make alcohol. Here's some weapons. Here's some.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, the long and short of it is to say that it's taking time, but we are doing it by hand and trying to make sure everyone gets value out of what they get.
Right, absolutely.
I think part of why this was such a huge, getting such a huge response on this item, or these items rather, is because very intentionally we tried to make the forward message being, you are going to get more than what you put in, the value of what you put in out of this, whether it's the $20 or the $50 box. So
yeah,
I thank you for working very diligently on it. It's
gotta happen. There's cool stuff.
It's gotta happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone says, why is your 12-year-old ordering from Scam Stuff, an offshoot of Scam School, a show about scamming people for beer? I remember at one point, I think this was around the time we started selling the brew kit. Brian said, well, I wouldn't mind if my daughter, who is 13, no, she's not 13. She's 10 or 11 or 12 or something. His young daughters were homebrewing beer. Like, his idea was, they brew it, they can drink it.
Mm, No.
So.
Prohibition was a thing.
I mean, Brian said a lot of kooky things over the years.
Right.
I'm not saying that mother, that parent is wrong for being upset.
No, I do not condone underage drinking or brewing it yourself. Don't do that. No.
Let him use the stove. It's not that bad.
Yeah, right.
I swear, if we show up one day and Penny's like making Pruno in the kitchen or something.
I wouldn't be surprised. This is a very STEM friendly household. You know?
True.
So that's the mystery boxes. I really love the idea, and I'm glad we had a lot of other ideas of different ways to do this thing, because we ended up wanting to do the Island of Misfit Toys promotion differently this year compared to the last few years. And I do like what we settled on. I think as the three of us, I guess, Brian and Max and I, when we do like the store videos, are like tossing ideas around. It's very easy for us or Brian to want to complicate things. Not maliciously, but it's always good to hear other perspectives and other ideas for things, because you won't know what efficiencies you might find in other things. But I think we kept it pretty simple, and I think it's a fun thing.
It'll be fun. So, yeah. No regrets.
Brandt.
Yeah.
Photo Fantastico.
New pictures on the website.
Return to form.
That's right. Classic. Okay. Yeah. So Brandt. So, One day I get a message on my phone, and it's Brant in the Scam Stuff channel saying, "We need photos of the Modern Rogue shirts."
Yeah, so this has been a pretty high priority for me for like 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had these Modern Rogue shirts, and I was like, oh, well, that's cool. And then people started like getting Modern Rogue shirts, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I would like a Modern Rogue shirt.
Yeah, we were supposed to all get one of all of them, and then I only got one of them.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
And so some time went by, and then there was vacations, and then...
Well, and also because we ordered these right around the time of the World Series, and our t-shirt place is in Chicago. So our guy was literally like, I can't print your shirts yet. I have to make a million Cubs shirts because everybody wants them right now. And I think that meant that... Oh, what that meant was that we couldn't get our proofs. We just couldn't get a proof. We just had to get them as is. For X, Y, or Z reasons, we never got a chance to take photos of them.
Yeah. And then it was a thing where Brian was like really gung-ho about, oh, we don't have an ad on Modern Rogue this week. We should do a merch plug or whatever. Mm. And I was like, calm down. We have an ad like once every other week on Modern Rogue, more or less.
But I think it's not the worst idea to...
Once every 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
And that was like a week right after we had an ad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, calm down. We can wait a week. So we went and shot we shot a couple
ad plugs.
Yeah,
it's a billboard basically.
Yeah. So just right up front, like, hey, you want to support the show? Buy a shirt. And so one happened
again. We talked about this in the pre-show. We are at a fundamental level higher than a lot of very bad actors in the YouTube game in terms of pimping stuff at the beginning of a video by a very wide margin.
Absolutely. So the first one of those was scheduled to go up last week, right? Yeah, last week. Yeah.
And it did.
And it did. And I was... I'm...
We haven't had... We did... Because... We haven't had good assets for the shirts ever.
Ever.
Not really.
They've all just been like, oh, well, this is like a pre-concept rendering from the guy who designed it that he gave to us 4 months ago.
Yeah, or it was like an armless mannequin shot from the t-shirt store or the t-shirt company. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I'm very particular about things. Like, if I were running scam stuff, the kind of person that I would be is I would have, I would break out my micrometer, and I would measure every product to like the 10th of an inch or 100th of an inch, and then have those dimensions on the page and weigh everything. Like, I'm just like, like I mentioned earlier, a little specific about detail, a little bit.
Yeah.
So I keep looking at this page because I want a shirt, and I was that close of just like, I'll just order shirts and I'll bill Brian.
Did you,
whatever.
Did you not receive one?
Really?
I did when I took the photos. I was just like, I'm just gonna take these home.
Oh, weird.
You, yeah. Because I never got one before then.
Yeah. I know.
Do you need t-shirts?
I would love to have the other two.
I'll send you t-shirts.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I was that far away from just being like, I'll just order shirts, and then hopefully I'll get one, because apparently other people are getting shirts.
Well,
so,
yeah, well, because John made a list, or John got everyone's shirt sizes because he was going to get one for everybody, and then the shipping delays and X, Y, and Z happened, and then John left, and then so Max ordered shirts.
And it's like, wait, we need shirts? But, what shirts? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this episode was coming up, and I kept looking at that page, and I was like, this is driving me insane. There's text on there that says, hey, we're pre-ordering for the next week until October 7th.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is bad. This just like, I can't send people to this. Like, it makes us look bad if I'm like, hey, we have like 250,000 subscribers now, which we didn't have last time we did a merch plug. Everybody go to this page where it says we're still taking pre-orders with concept art.
Right.
And so I was just like, this is like number one priority. I don't care about the intro. This has to happen.
Yeah.
And then you were gone for PAX, so you couldn't do anything. And then Max was busy with all of these mystery boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
right.
Brian is on a plane somewhere or whatever.
So you went ahead and shot your own photos. We've got them here if you're watching the video. They look great. Turning out fantastic.
Looking good.
Yeah. So I got to reprise my role as shirt model, which I did with the No Hobo shirt and the Diamond Club shirt. Mm. And there was another shirt. But I've been shirt model for
Dragon Con.
Yeah.
There's like two of those somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been shirt model a couple times, and it's always fun. So I just showed up to Brian's empty house and took all of these shirts out of the bag and then wore them in his garage and then took photos. And actually, it was really great because I took those with my A7S II, which is now in full-on swing these days. But I was running into a problem where, so you take raw photos, which is an uncompressed format, right? So you have a ton of information to work with. Raw photos with the A7S is in a wide gamut color space, right? So it's just like it expands it out a little bit, gives you a little bit more color information to work with and stuff like that. But if you save that out as a JPEG in wide gamut, basically nothing supports that.
Right.
Nothing supports that color space.
So, they usually support sRGB or Adobe RGB.
Yeah. And so you like pull up the photos anywhere and it's like, it just looks like garbage. It's like low saturation, low contrast.
Yeah.
It just looks really bad. And so I was banging my head against the wall for that because I shot the photos on like Wednesday or Thursday or something. And then the Modern Rogue episode was going up Friday. The product page hadn't been updated yet. And which is good because those photos were wide gamut and it probably would have looked bad.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, I have to import this photo into Premiere for the episode because they show up briefly, but they all look so bad. They all look terrible. So I was like banging my head against the wall, and I figured out a workaround where I could save them out as a Photoshop file and then dynamic link them into Premiere.
You found no way to get them out of Photoshop as standard RGB.
Well, I eventually did.
Okay.
Good.
But yeah, like that would be bonkers.
That would take so long.
Like that at that point, you would be better off like taking a screen capture of Photoshop. Hope. No.
So that's what the photo you're looking at right now is. So for the episode, they're dynamically linked Photoshop files because those work fine. But for the product page, it was like 9:30 a.m. The episode goes up at 10 a.m.
And I was like, I don't know how to get these into sRGB. And so I just took screenshots and then cropped them down, uploaded them, and I was like, I'm going to sleep. After a full night's sleep, I woke up and looked into it, and it's super easy.
Yeah.
Of course.
There's a button that just says.
There's an export button, and you export to JPEG,
right.
And there's an sRGB setting in that, but for the past 10 years... Never once used it. I've always saved as.
Yeah.
JPEG.
Is it the save for web and devices one?
It's kind of the same thing, basically.
Because I feel like you're supposed to use that, and I never use that. I just also use save as.
No one knows, right?
What an adventure!
But that was a great learning experience. So now I can properly use my camera.
Sure. And now we have the shirt page looks all pretty.
Yeah, and then I went through and stripped it of the weird outdated text and then uploaded the photos. Mm. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you for doing that.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Max, we're gonna bring it back to you. So you've been with is it 2 months now? Have you been with us 2 months? Maybe officially,
something like that, maybe 3 months.
I think so.
2 months worth of bizarre briefings.
Exactly.
That's what we measure.
This is your third bizarre briefing.
6 months of work and like two months of paychecks, but that's fine. So,
there's being associated with Brian kind of can give you you end up more exposed to like Brian's fans. You know, to the Diamond Club people. And I imagine that there is like a little bit of a bump that comes with that, right? Like you get some more followers on Twitter or something.
Sure.
I know there was for me.
Yeah.
For me, I had like 200 followers on Twitter when I joined up.
Yeah.
Now I'm at like 1,200 maybe 1,000.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Very nice.
All because of this job and not at all because of my personality.
I was going to say, I don't want people reading like, oh, pizza at 4 a.m. That's a great idea. No.
That's what I want to read. That's the best stuff. Well, that and I had that good CIA tweet yesterday where...
That was funny.
I was trolling through CIA put up a bunch of declassified maps or stuff on Flickr. And then I was like, amidst like photos of spy cameras in cigarette packets and stuff, there's just a dog eating a branch.
Well, that's the thing about the government is if the government makes anything, it is the public domain. So
yeah, which is great because there's just this picture of a dog and underneath it says property of U.S. government.
Classified
date code XXY, which is great. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So and I'm an outlier, so I'm not going to give my numbers, but Max. Well, there are machinations that I could talk about another time.
Sure.
Max, have you found like you've gotten people like for lack of a less social bladey word, have you found people are engaging you more on social mediums?
Yeah, on occasion I'll get like a weird like message from somebody that's like, follow me back in here. But it's like, okay, sure. But no, once in a while there's someone who's actually interesting out there who wants to like talk about something. It's like, oh, cool, right on, yeah. But most of the time I just wake up, it's like, oh, crap, like 50 new followers, and I tweeted last night about running out of gas. Oh. So
but, you could tweet about worse things.
Yeah, I tweeted about
try and maintain.
You could
some.
Be like, "Oh no, these pictures got out." No.
Yeah, some of us tweet when we're drunk.
Clickbait.
I've retweeted some very bad vines of myself drunk karaokeing. So
gonna try and
the bar is very low. We have a very low bar in terms of Twitter content. Yeah.
But no, it's really funny actually because I used to do radio for a long time.
Right.
So I had a large-ish small cult fan base following of these random people who loved jazz late at night.
Oh, nice.
And then when I started tweeting in Texas, they're like, wait a minute. Is this not you on the radio? Wait, why are you?
Oh,
what's
no.
going on? It's like, oh, no. So I lost a bunch of people too.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it was
no.
like, oh, no. I have one new follower today. And that's it, because they
balance
out. You're
looking at net followers.
Yeah, it's like a net gain loss. It's like, all right, whatever, man. Like,
does
okay.
that mean that... because
did you get body snatched on the radio? Is somebody out there like, yeah. yo, I'm DJ Max-a-Lot?
That'd be awesome.
Is the old radio station you used to work at using your old Twitter handle, or are they playing reruns or something?
I hope so. That'd be really cool. My mom texts me like, why are you on the local radio? It's like, I don't know. Sorry.
Wow.
No, it's super bogus, but no, I don't know. I'm
Mega
just gonna
Max
roll with
out
it.
There.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Shadow Max.
Maximum Gilliland.
Oh, I don't need a worse one of me out there.
His name is just Min.
Oh, Min!
No! That's some, like, Mega Man rock and roll shit.
Yeah,
like,
dude, no! All right, I'm gonna find him on Xbox Live and
oh, boy.
Yeah.
Beat him up somehow. I don't know how
yeah,
it works. The interwebs.
That's about right.
Yeah, I'll find him in the Matrix.
that's great. That's really great. Last Tuesday, I'll segue after this. We should have you on Night Attack at some point, Max.
All right.
It is a bit of... I would say maybe a tradition. Is tradition kind of the right word, Brant? Of like having new people on Night Attack at some point in
sure.
some
All right.
ancillary
right
bit or role.
Okay.
The first time.
Pretty much.
I think the first time John was on, that was the Christmas episode where he got slapped in the face.
True, true.
I mean, it was a light
oh,
slap.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But,
uh-huh. No.
I don't know. I think it would be fun. A fun experience for you to like,
sure.
for us to figure out a way for you to include you in their comedy thing.
It's yeah. a good experience to have had.
Right. I was yeah. going to say, I've never met Justin before. So I'm like, I've
right.
been kind of a pseudo follower. It's like, oh, this guy's cool. So, you know, yeah, it'd be sweet to meet him and do the thing. So yeah, sure.
I'm Open Bio says, Brant and I both did we were in the 10 Second Film Festival, both prominently featured in different film festival episodes.
Hmm.
We need to bring that back.
I've always said you guys should bring it back.
Enlighten me. I'm not familiar with.
So there was an old bit, and the funny thing is, the 10 Second Film Festival only existed outside of the time period where Vine was a thing.
True.
That's yeah.
It stopped
weird.
Before Vine started,
right.
and now Vine's gone.
We could have saved it too. So the idea was they would put out the signal a day or hours before. Like, hey, go make a 10-second film, a 10-second video, put it online,
sure.
and we will watch it, and we will judge the winner.
And this is your okay. subject. This is your
oh, yeah,
topic.
Yeah. Nice. Not all of them had topics. In fact, most of them I don't think did.
I think all except for the first.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. So, and those were also, it's been so long that we've done them. Like, I remember doing the ones that I did on my DSLR because it would have been crazy for me to try to do it on my phone. But I think now we are really empowered to be able to do more stuff on our phone impromptu.
Sure.
Right.
Even if it's like a Vine thing or an Instagram thing. We should bring that back.
Hmm. I've always said you guys should get Conley on a 10-second short film episode.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I mean, for as much shit as we talk about Ryan Connolly, anybody just needs to email him once.
Probably.
I'm kind of that dude helped me through film school, so
yeah?
I'm just, yeah, like,
oh, very cool.
Yeah, so I would love to meet him at some point. That's,
yeah, they're real nice. They live just a couple hours north.
Sweet.
Yeah, we keep saying we'll do a field trip up there and figure something out, but.
Cool.
I've been hounding Brian about that for like a year.
Yeah.
I think you just need to go around him and just get... Just go on one of the computers where he's logged into Gmail and find Ryan Connolly's email.
I've got his email address.
And just be like,
I could
hey.
Probably email
I was going to say, I have all the passwords if you want. So.
It's true.
That is all to segue into a story about Night Attack. So last Tuesday, we had Robert Cargill. See Robert Cargill on, the writer of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, cool guy.
Insidious. And I think it was called Sinister? No.
He did Sinister, not Insidious.
Oh, right. Sorry, Sinister. Yeah. That's all to say. So Robert Cargill was on Night Attack, and I do a bit in the pre-show for Night Attack based off a bit that we did on one episode of Social Eating. And so I'll just find some weird or wacky chips or something to talk about just for like 5 or 10 minutes at the start of the stream.
Sure.
And partially because Brian has that thing where he doesn't like hearing people eat or chew things. So it's kind of a fun, like, way to poke at him. So Shiftlock, one of our chat fam, our chat realm friends.
Shiftlock Zero, as some may know, right?
I think it's Shiftlock One.
One? Oh, man, my whole world just got flipped upside down. I don't even know anymore.
It's both. Shiftlock is both.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
So yes or no paradox.
He sends me an email saying, hey, you've got a package on your way. I sent it to the warehouse. Expect it.
Oh, that's what that weird thing was.
Yeah, so we were kind of playing package tag with that for a little while, but it ended up arriving, and... I thought it was cookies. At one point, I was given a jar of cookies, and I thought, oh, he sent me cookies. That's so sweet.
How nice. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. And I think we still have the packaging here. So it was from this jerky company, the Newport Jerky Company out of Newport, Rhode Island. Exotic gourmet jerky and specialty items. Alligator, python, kangaroo, snapping turtle, wild boar, shark. And it's got like a $5 gift coupon in here. And so I thought, oh, okay, that's all right.
Interesting, right? Yeah.
Brian likes jerkies. It could just be.
Oh, boy, does he.
Yeah. Who knows? It could just be some weird. Nope. So it comes in this like neoprene, like anti-static bags.
Like a hard drive.
Like a hard drive or a RAM or something. Sure. And on it, it says that the package contains Armor Tail Scorpions.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Someone sent me scorpions.
Oh, lovely.
Because I said that I would eat them.
I don't think you could pay me enough money to eat them. I don't think a person could pay.
Well,
really?
If I'm not mistaken, they have them in the bottom of the bottle of tequila. You ever seen that?
I think those are worms.
No.
I would believe scorpions. That they would do that.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird. After a bottle of tequila, maybe.
I sat on a scorpion once.
Brent also doesn't drink.
Yeah, I also don't drink.
Well, okay. So no scorpions for you.
No scorpions.
No, I've never been a big fan of scorpions. I think they look cool.
Oh, I hate them. They're scary.
Well, and so
they are scary.
Yeah.
So I see this. I see this bag, and it's got a little bit of a heft to it. And I see the picture of the scorpion on here, and it's kind of a sizable image on the bag. So I think, okay, it'll be a big scorpion, and it'll be like, you know, a couple inches big, and I'll just like it'll be like a solid thing to just like chew into, and it'll be a weird thing, but we'll get over it. It was maybe 3.5 small, like less than an inch, like an inch size scorpion.
Micro scorpions.
They were very small. Like, they were so small that they freaked me out that I realized scorpions could be so small. When I think of scorpions, I think of like big,
right? Yeah.
Big things.
Giant.
Not, you know, something the size of a spider.
Yeah, these aren't Australian scorpions.
No, these aren't your dad's scorpions.
No.
And then I ate them. I would say that they were fine. Like, they're dry. They were really dry.
Mm.
And they were still a little pokey, a little pointy.
Mm.
And, of course, they were dead.
Oh, good.
But they honestly didn't have much flavor. They kind of tasted kind of like... there's like a graininess to them, but you know.
I think maybe if I were in a life or death situation, I might eat a scorpion.
Stranded in the desert.
Yeah.
Plane crash kind of thing.
Yeah. If I was like, I haven't seen food for 3 days, I'd probably eat a scorpion.
Yeah.
But outside of that context, I don't know. I won't even eat mayonnaise. Like, I'm not going to eat a scorpion.
But also, these are like... prepared. They're like killed and preserved and
fried,
shrunk
and
whatever.
Something.
Like, I would rather that than have to like try to find a scorpion and kill it and then eat whatever is left.
Yeah, that just sounds like a bad idea.
That's way worse.
No.
I mean, I could probably do like, because people eat crickets, right? Crickets are like a big protein thing. Yeah. They're an alternative protein source.
Bad. Yeah.
I could probably eat a cricket. Don't send me crickets. Please listen.
It's kind of like a pretzel. It's like...
Yeah?
It's surprisingly like caramel-dipped pretzels, if you think about that, which...
That's... Okay. That's a very loaded term you just used to describe a cricket.
Like, okay, yeah. It's like eating a cricket. It's got that crunch, but it's like a little bit like soft in the weirdest way.
Oh.
Yeah. I think if somebody said, hey, here's like a Nutribar thing, and it's been processed with processed crickets. I might.
Oh, you can't even tell.
Cricket
flour.
I might take a bite.
Right.
But if you're like, here's a cricket, I would slap your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sudbutt says, I was literally hovering the over add to cart button for crickets. Nescom. Are these crickets? Are they like raisinets? Are they like, what is it, chocolate covered crickets? We're trying to load out the Amazon page here. Crickets. Mm. Crickets is a good name. Oh, God.
Ew.
Bacon and cheese flavored cricket snacks.
Is that like a bag from the 50s?
Yeah.
It does look like an old-timey like box. Man.
I found those in Fallout once.
Yeah. This is like some pre-war.
God. Oh, they're expensive, too. Oh, Jesus.
$10 for like five? Ew.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's the Scorpions. These weren't very soft. You mentioned that crickets were kind of soft. This wasn't soft, but I think it's because it's from a jerky place where they like heat it out. Like right. They dry it out.
Ooh, smoked scorpion.
Brant.
Yo.
I see this on our topics, and I am... Right. What is it? What's good? What's up? What's happening?
So this probably isn't like a super meaty topic, but it was a thing that I noticed about myself.
Yeah.
A little bit of personal revelation. So I sometimes stream out edits and stuff of me putting together a Modern Rogue episode, me putting together a Scam School episode or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And those are pretty long, but I kind of try to fill it with me describing the process. I even put one of them on the Scam Stuff channel this past week.
Yeah. That just went live the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/Scam Stuff. If you're on YouTube, that's where you're watching this now.
Whoa. But I noticed something about myself when I don't stream. Because when I stream, I try to be
entertaining on
my game.
Yeah,
sure.
When I don't stream, I'm very, very mean about everybody.
To like the people in the video that you're editing?
Like the host, the guest, everybody working on it. Mm. I'm just mean about everybody. I'm like, you idiot, Bryce. Why is your camera focused on this and not on this? Roberto, what are you doing? The sound is awful right here. Brian, why are you saying right all the time? Like it's this thing where it's like,
have you noticed that Brian has been flubbing his lines a lot more lately and not retaking them?
Hmm.
I've noticed that lately.
I would believe that.
We also shoot sometimes so like the exact, 8 pints in.
I have the same thing. Sometimes it's you. It's like, why are you zooming in so much? Stop zooming in
zoom
so much.
Zoom out. Zoom. Gotta get those angles. Yeah, and sometimes I'm like that about myself. I'm like, what was I doing? Jesus, what is
that's
this?
That's why I avoid the zoom lenses. But I definitely get some of the same thing.
Oh, man. I'm just relentless. But I think it makes the edits better because... Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of coming at it from the perspective of what I imagine some of the worst commenters are going to be. So I can kind of see the perspective of like, oh yeah, this part is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to make it good, but I know it's terrible.
Yeah.
And also just like being hypercritical of stuff helps me with figuring out like, oh yeah, this really is actually super unnecessary. So I'm going to cut it out for pacing. And oh yeah, like I can't actually tell what's going on here because this is just a garbled mess. So I have to do some kind of on-screen graphic, and it sort of helps with that. But I usually tone it down for the live streams. Every now and then, it kind of slips through, and I'm like,
yeah,
oops. I get real at them.
Do you find yourself more focused on the live streams?
No. The real problem with the live streams is I'm less willing to experiment because I don't want to like do something super dumb and then be like, yeah, well, I just wasted like 40 minutes of your time doing this dumb thing. The one where that really showed up was I live streamed the Modern Rogue edit of the Millwall Brick episode. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit where they say like Millwall Brick. And then it shows up on screen like...
Oh, the graphic.
Millwall Brick.
Yeah.
And I beat my head against a wall on that for like the longest time. And I was like, I'm just going to stop this stream and...
figure it out and
I'll
be back.
I'm going to figure this out. And so I did that. I turned off the stream and I figured it out in like 20 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever.
Wow,
because I was just able to like sit back, not say anything, just look at it, watch through it a few times, mm-hmm. and go, okay, here are some things that I can now tell are working about it, things that I can tell aren't working about it.
Mm, yeah.
I get a lot of questions during streams, so I end up getting like distracted and answering a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'll get that during music streams. Because I don't stream me editing as much.
Right.
Partially because, especially when I was doing when we were doing giveaway videos every week, I wouldn't want to like do those early and like tip our hand on what we would be the sale would be or give away the giveaway codes and stuff. So that was one thing that I just wouldn't be able to edit. But when I do music editing, and this is partially because I am like the only person on Twitch who does not edit in Fruity Loops. I'm sorry, FL Studio. but it's like, hey, what are you using? What VST are you using? This, that, the other thing. And I get into a rhythm of like wanting to show people all of the good free stuff and like the not so expensive stuff, but then the nice expensive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see where that gets distracting. Because the few times that I've edited Game School on a stream, I've actually felt more focused. But I think more so that's because I'm susceptible to not being focused.
Like,
there will be some Wednesdays when it's like an episode week and not an ad week where I'll like say, well, I'll watch this Jaya Bomb video first and I'll go eat and then I will be ready to do the scam school. And then
every day of my life is what you just described. Yeah.
And then I'll do 3/4 of an A pass on everything. Yeah. And I'll be like, cool. So I'm halfway done. I can take a break. I can go eat again.
Yeah.
And the giveaway videos are especially bad about that because those are so short and a little formulaic. Mm-hmm. And so like, I can do literally any amount of work and feel comfortable saying it's half done. I can come back to it in a minute.
Sure. Yeah. The nice thing about the streams is that,
but they keep you focused. You have someone, you have eyes on you.
It holds you accountable.
Right. Yeah.
Which adds a certain stress factor, which is my new show on ABC.
Stress factor.
it's nice to have sometimes. I typically, I'll do it a little bit more often if I'm doing an early edit where it's just like, I've got time. I can kind of run through it, and then that still gives me time to like sleep on it and then watch through it and see what mess I've made.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where if like I'm running right up against the deadline, I typically don't want to stream because I want to be a little bit more relaxed and be able to work through it.
Yeah.
But it varies.
Mm-mm-mm. Speaking of scam school, let's switch into talking about that for just a brief second. First off, we are going to try. This is a very non-committal thing that I'm saying, but I think we're going to have a scam school shoot on the 9th of February. Okay. That's the date that we decided last week when Brian was in town, and we knew we needed to shoot more scam schools. So I think we're going to try to do that. Keep an eye on social media for that stuff, but that'll probably be what happens. I think it's on the 9th. That should be a Thursday.
That is a Thursday.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for that.
If you're in Austin, drop by.
Yeah. Let's talk about this brand because it is true. We normally, and I think it's partially still because it's early in the year, but we've had more holes in our domain.com ads.
Mm-hmm.
We just have more weeks where they haven't bought an ad yet for the episode or the time limit where we need them to make the decision, pass fast or whatever. Right. So I don't know that you've had an ad. You didn't have one last episode or the last two episodes, maybe?
I'm not going to lie. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah, I bet.
I've been doing these ads for, what year is it?
It's 2017 now.
So three years? 4 years? End of 2013, I guess. So 3 years. And, you know, it's just sometimes... Sometimes you're like, I've said this messaging in so many different ways.
Yeah.
For so long. Like,
you deserve domain, a
break. Domain's great and all. Like, they're really lenient on what we can do, which is nice.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah. And last year there was a similar thing where at the beginning of the year there was a few episodes.
Right.
And
which is not uncommon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do Discovery does negotiations for different shows, and they try to package stuff and make a year long package thing.
Yeah, so. and sponsors have like campaign durations for certain things and all that stuff. But last year when it happened, you had more ad free episodes than I did, and I was so salty about it. I was so frustrated because I was like, I've been doing this for so damn long, and Bryce steps in and he gets more weeks off. And then this week or this year, it's like very much in the opposite direction.
Right. I got the Christmas week off, which helped me immensely because I was getting ahead for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And then you very helpfully were like, hey, did you know you don't have an ad? Yeah. And then I was like, I don't.
Right.
But I think you have not had you haven't had any the last two episodes that you had.
And I don't have one this week. And then the week after that, I do, but there is a week coming up.
There's a week in March that we just found out we don't have an ad.
Yeah, and I don't know whose week that falls on. But yeah.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the time off.
It's been really nice. It's kind of bad because I'm pushing off Scam School longer than I should.
Yeah. I find like I'm doing that more too with the episode weeks because I don't – because I have less of the giveaway videos. So I'll
But yeah, weeks where it's like I don't have to publish, I'll also push Scam School back a little bit just to give me more time to work on Modern Rogue.
Yeah.
And to get that started a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. But I've been really cavalier with it, knowing that I don't have any ads to do. And it has been nice. I'm a little scared to jump back in because I'm like, oh, I haven't done this in a
rusty
month.
Yeah.
We might have some loose ads for a little bit.
Huh.
Well,
yeah, that'd be fine.
But then again, I guess we've had loose ads for
for a year.
For a while.
For a little bit. Yeah. I was really proud of my Young Thug ad.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
At first I told Brian, hey, I don't need you for this ad, so I got it. And then I realized, oh, well, there's a point in the original music video where there's this audio clip, so I need to get him to do an audio clip. So we did it on Tuesday night after Night Attack where Cargill was on. But I also needed the studio to shoot the B-roll of like inside the studio and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was probably here until 2 or 3 a.m., like waiting for them to get done talking after the live stream, waiting for them to all try the VR stuff.
Of course.
Waiting for them to BS again about whatever. And then, like, vacate so that I can, like, do this. So, like, we just recorded Brian's thing on the phone. And I intended for him to not know anything about it because I already knew he would not know what the Young Thug music video, the Wyclef Jean thing was at all.
Yeah.
But at some point, right before we started recording, he goes, oh, I saw the title of your document. And I thought, if you do an accent, Brian, if you do some sort of Ebonics thing, I'm really like gonna have no patience for it this week. It ended up pretty good, and it's long. I think this is like the second or so ad that has been a little longer in as many weeks or as many episodes as I've done. This one was like about a minute, and then I don't remember what the one before it was, but I remember that being about a minute or so too. And thinking, this is long, but I think it's worth it.
Right.
When I originally started and I was doing the ads more with Brian, or like working really closely with him on them, it would always be like shorter, do it all shorter. But I feel like it was worth it, especially because, I don't know, there are so many jokes in the Young Thug thing that I wanted to replicate that is like, it needs a little bit of time to like have
to
all
get
those
going
things
and,
in.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed doing it. And Tasha, our ad lady, was like, oh, that was hilarious. Mm. And so I was like, okay, cool. I know I got something good.
Yeah. I feel like I used to do a lot of long ads for a while. And then I started to clue into the fact that the shorter you can make the ads, the less work you actually have to do on them.
Right.
So it really pays dividends to figure out an idea that works well in like a short amount of time. Yeah. But every now and then you kind of go like, this is a good idea though. Yeah. Like,
the thing that always worries me is when we have a short A block on that episode of Scam School and then the ad is longer than that A block.
Yeah. That gets a little bit awkward.
I think it was the car that card trick. I think it might have been the Friction Pen episode.
Okay.
Where that A block was very short, mm-hmm. and I was super worried about the ad being long. That's like really the one thing that bothers me. Because if someone's like, I'm 3 minutes in, and those last 2 minutes were all an ad, I'd be like, well, yeah, that does suck.
Oops.
Oopsie doozy. Mm-hmm. Let's one last official topic. It's not or unofficial. I don't know. Sort of thing. This is the rumor mill. Welcome to the rumor mill. Get your grind on.
Oh boy.
This is to say that I don't even know how much. Did you take your hat off for this?
Yep.
Okay.
Rumor mill.
Rumor mill. Right. Sorry. You got to show deference for it. Uh-huh. I don't know how much I want to tease. But we're talking to a new person.
Oh right, right. Mm. Yeah.
And they're catching on pretty quickly. I feel impressed with what the person has done with the situation he was given, mm-hmm. just in terms of footage. That is all a radio tease to say I think with how fast things go here, there's a chance he might even be on the next Bizarre Briefing. I think it's totally a possibility.
That is feasible.
It's right.
Yeah.
So, that's just a little hot goss, a little juicy goose. Like, I think we are looking at a new set of hands, and he's a very cool dude. And I think I would actually say that some people might know him. What?
Ooh.
So that's that. That's the rumor mill. I'm going to shut the door on the rumor mill. Nope. We'll turn the fan off, the windmill off.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
So what have you guys been up to? We have a few minutes left to just like.
I was taping up all of my cables today under my desk.
Yeah.
Because I got that standing desk and like there are a bunch of cables like tying everything together and.
Gets webby.
Apparently they had originally done like these things that like stick to the underside of the desk, and then there's like almost like a zip tie sort of thing.
Okay.
Put the cables through it and then tie it shut, and then it latches or whatever. But like those ripped off of the adhesive before I'd even gotten it. So right now I've got the gaffer's tape. I'm just sticking like gaffer's tape under there, and
oh boy,
well this will work for now.
Forever.
Is it? Yeah. Huh. I know. We went and did the Night Attack show, and so I was unplugging a bunch of stuff here, and like adding Velcro to a lot of cables that didn't have any.
Yeah.
Also, at one point, I realized when I got to San Antonio that the cables that I was tying up very quickly and efficiently, I was not tying them to the cable. I was just tying the tied up clump up with the Velcro, so I would like undo it and have to like redo it onto like the actual cable itself so it would stick and isn't just like a loose piece of Velcro I was using.
Yeah. Whoops. Well, happens.
I mean, those Velcro straps are amazing.
They're very cool.
They're good for everything.
I use them all.
Yeah.
I want to get like, so I've got my computer on a bookshelf behind my desk. And all the cabling like waterfalls out behind it.
Yeah.
I want to get. So the bookshelf has a bunch of holes in the side. It's like perforated, sort of.
Oh, so you can move the shelves up and down.
Kind of, yeah.
Like in the back, though.
In like the sides.
Yeah.
So I want to get some hooks or something from Home Depot and stick them through there, and then use that to help
hold the cable,
route cabling and stuff.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I just got a microphone arm. For my own studio.
Oh, nice.
It's not one of the nice ones like the Heils that we have here. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't even know the brand. It's some Chinese little thing. It was okay. So here's the thing about my desk. So I have a desk from IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
And that IKEA desk doesn't have any overhang.
Awesome.
So there's nowhere to secure. So what I had to do was I had to take the it's a normal clamp, a tightener clamp. But I had to put it upside. There's a lip in the back half on the back side of the desk, but on the top of it that lifts up so you can put cables through it and then down, so it kind of hides the cables inside the desk.
Nice.
I had to attach the stand for the arm upside down onto that lip to like find any sort of purchase for it,
right,
for the stand. It was very weird, and it's not the most secure thing. Also, the stand doesn't have, so these Heil ones have like adjuster knot, have like tightener screws. This one did not. So like it has an actual screw, like a flathead screw in it. So I bet you can probably use that to firm it up or whatever. But it's like, oh,
that's obnoxious.
And it doesn't have, so these have like a, you can route a cable through the arm.
Through it, yeah.
Right.
This one that I have does not. It's smaller. So it's just not big enough. But it's like a little $30 arm from Amazon or something. So it's not that bad.
Yeah. I've got one. It's not the same model as this, but it's pretty close to the same build factor and everything.
Sure.
It doesn't have this sleeve to put cabling through, but I've got Velcro straps around, so it basically runs along.
Twist it does.
Oh,
the
that's
job.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it works pretty well.
Yeah.
Although my desk, it's kind of weird to position on my desk as it is right now, because I've got this big L shape now.
Right.
Whereas I used to have just the rectangular desk. Yeah. Although I have my old desk next to my standing desk now, so it's like a
so wait, you have two desks.
Epic real estate,
I have two desks in my living room. It's amazing though, nice, because nice. I use the other desk for shooting stuff on, because it's a gorgeous desk.
Uh-huh.
I really love it, and also I think it's just cool to have like arm space to put stuff on, and I don't know, I really love it, but I also have a weird empty barren living room that is not suitable for human living beyond myself.
Oh
yeah, because so, you don't really like,
I don't have people over,
you don't use the living room as like a living, like you don't have a couch and a TV or anything.
I have a couch, but it's a small couch. I don't have a TV. It's a weird living room. But a lot of desks. I love it.
if you're into desks, it's great.
Sure.
Yeah. It's great.
Space
desk
everywhere.
Central.
Though I have ended up using my desk more lately because I found out that the new monitor that I have, the old 2K monitor I have, has HDMI in. And so I can plug my PlayStation into that monitor.
Ooh.
And then use the other. I have a second monitor, and I can use that as a computer. So I can have a video playing on the computer, and it'll play through my nice desktop monitors, and then I can just play like Geometry Wars or something on my PlayStation at
nice.
The same
that is
seat.
Nice.
Do you have an HDMI switcher?
Yeah, I have a switch. I have a switcher and splitters and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah,
I need to do that. It's such a mess. I have the sort of like half built IKEA desk, but it's asymmetrical, and I'm dyslexic, so it's like a Van Gogh thing now. And then the living room, I've just got like a generic couch, and it's just
do you have like a lot of like boxes and consoles and stuff? Because it might even be better. Because I've been thinking about doing this, of getting a home entertainment receiver, and using that instead of like these. A lot of chintzy Chinese HDMI switchers and
because
I only have two HDMI inputs on my crappy TV still.
Sure.
You should look into that. Because also the other reason I was looking into that is the TV that I got has bad, like the sound quality is just not very good on it, because it's just a cheap, small, dumb TV.
Right.
But if I get a receiver, I could run external audio somehow, like a sound bar or something. I don't know. Like, you should consider that.
Yeah.
If you're looking to simplify things,
upgrade some stuff, maybe. Yeah, that'd be good. It's just spaghetti now, so gotta get some zip ties.
Zip ties is the biggest thing to organize a TV.
I love them.
I was sick. I'm like just getting over being sick. Like, I was real bad yesterday. Today I'm at like I can hear how nasally I'm a little bit today.
Mm.
But I feel like I'm at like 98-99% today. But yesterday was really like, I went through a half box of Kleenex and a lot of Netflix. Just like, I can't do anything today. Don't ask me for anything today.
I feel like I'm just now starting to get over that cough.
Oh, right.
I've had it for the past month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah. I mean, I still cough a little bit, as evidenced by this podcast, but not nearly as bad as previously.
Yeah. I thought right before I got sick, I got like the apex of my sickness was like during PAX South. So I was like walking the expo floor just like, I'm the problem and I feel awful. But I had been like sneezing a lot, and like my eyes were watering a lot. And so I thought, well, this could just be me developing my Austin allergies or cedar allergies or whatever. But yeah. Now I don't know, because I don't know that we're necessarily out of allergy season, and I not having the watery eyes thing that I was having before. I don't know. I don't know if that was just a different sickness. This would be all solved by doctors, but like...
Human bodies are weird.
They're just really not weird, messy and strange. And
yeah. We should just get rid of them.
That's what I've been saying for so long.
Robots.
Oh, my gosh. Everything.
Upload the consciousness.
Yeah. All right, let's do
VR,
plugs.
VR, man.
Let's do some plugs. Right. Max, we'll start with you.
DJ Old Fashioned, Twitter, yeah. All the weird random crap.
That's a good handle to have, BTW.
Thank you.
DJ Old Fashioned.
Well, I only played like pre-50s jazz at like 2 to 5 a.m., and I also love the
best
drink.
Time for it.
Yeah, that was a good time for
it. That's when you got to listen to jazz. So, just kind of like my musings on what else is going on.
Well, if you ever decide to be an electro swing DJ, you still get the perfect name.
There you go.
True. That's actually pretty good.
That's pretty close, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, very cool. Everybody follow him and give him that bump. Brant, if you want to see these famed edit sessions.
So edit sessions are at twitch.tv/gatowag. That's GATOWAG. You can find my CIA tweets on Twitter. Same handle, gatowag. You can find all my dope-ass photography on Instagram.com/gadwag.
Yeah.
Been posting a lot of photos of our fog day. And just like wherever else, I probably use that name as well.
Yeah. Are you, what are you playing now on Twitch? I thought I saw you upload an archive of a stream, and I remember it wasn't Bully or Hitman.
So Inigo Prophecy I just finished.
Oh, right.
Fahrenheit, Inigo Prophecy.
Yeah. Good. It was bad, huh? It went some places, huh?
So... I played it in three sessions, and the first two I really loved. Like, it's kind of bad, but I saw so much potential and it starts off
like cheesy, but okay.
It was right. I could feel like it was trying to do something.
Yeah,
and then I must have found the exact tipping point when I stopped. Because I played through session three, and I'm like, okay, so there's a dude who's like a bunch of bright yellow toilet wraps around him, but he's also an AI, and also, I don't know what's happening.
Also, he's an ancient Mayan spirit?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
But, yeah.
I don't understand. I would say that's a spoiler. I literally don't remember how that counts with any of this.
Yeah, and also I thought he was weird raincoat Mayan Illuminati man, but he wasn't because that was a different guy, I guess. I don't know. And so that whole third session, I was just like completely disillusioned. Yeah. And I went, man, this is so dumb. I want to like this so much, but it's bad.
Yeah. Oh, did you get the ghost sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy
it. It was weird, and it does. Yeah.
I didn't buy it at all. I was like, well, where did this come from?
Right.
And also, there are a bunch of homeless people on the other side of this wall.
Well, not just homeless people, like survivors, because that's at the point where it's like pre-apocalypse.
Sure. Yeah. It's a whole thing. David Cage is a weird guy.
Oh, boy, howdy.
But I did see, speaking of cages, Nick Cage was in town the other day. He was at the Draft House.
Really? He showed up at like a surprise screening for, what's the movie, Caged?
That sounds right.
I think it's like C4GED, too.
I didn't know that, but that's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's the name of the Alamo Marathon. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so
someone should make a movie called Cage C4GED.
Oh, it'll happen.
It's the fourth sequel to a movie that doesn't exist.
It'll happen. I'm sure.
Look at Cage, dude. He looks like he's been in Austin all these years.
He really does.
He does.
He kind of loved that Elijah Woods lives around here. He was talking about that.
Oh yeah.
I watched the Draft House video of their Q&A after that, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Mm-mm-mm. Right.
Yeah.
Nick Cage, man.
Crazy dude.
If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch. Brycas, BRYCAS. That's how to get all the good stuff. I have an idea for a thing. I followed Nick Robinson on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
He's one of my favorite dudes. And he's watching Terrace House, the Japanese reality show on Netflix.
Okay.
And he's watching it with his roommate, and what they're doing is they'll watch an episode, and then there's an app on his phone that he uses to record a podcast. So he does like this little like 10-minute watch party podcast. Also, it's got the best name. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Terrace House Mafia.
I don't get it.
Oh, there's an electro super group. Like the three biggest names in electronic music, called Swedish House Mafia.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
They're around.
They did that Don't You Worry Child song and Miami to Ibiza. Anyway.
I'll take your word on it.
They brought Pharrell back. They single-handedly brought Pharrell back.
I know who Pharrell is.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. You got it.
Connections.
He does it with an app, and I'm really fascinated by the idea of like a short-form podcast that I just do on my phone. And so I would just say keep an eye out on my Twitter, because I would love to just one day put out a thing that is very small and it would just be one joke or something, because I think I think there's something there. I think there's like I've been wanting to get back into doing a podcast of my own, and it's tough because I work on so many podcasts,
right?
And I don't know who I would do it with, but I would love to just do a little sort of sequential thing. So that's that. Twitter and Twitch, find me at Brycas, BRYCAS. This show you can find at bizarrebriefing.com. It's where you get all the old episodes. We've even got the art, the nice art on most of these, of the YouTube thumbnails and stuff. You get all of our old episodes, get the RSS, get the iTunes, get our links, get the YouTube links. You can also watch this on YouTube at youtube.com/scamstuff. We do a show the end of every month, usually the last Monday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
We've been good about it. Like, I think over a year that we've been doing the show, we've been very consistent about it.
Oh man, think about it. Now you're gonna show up and do weird things and cord killers and bizarre briefing.
We're gonna have to move bizarre briefing to another day.
Oh geez,
I'd be fine with like Fridays or whatever. The reason
do it on Tuesdays when I'm here for Night Attack instead, because we could do it later because Night Attack starts at 8.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Okay.
But the whole reason it was on Mondays was to save you another trip.
Another trip, right? Yeah. Oh, because we started doing this when I was living up north, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't very long that I was here that we started doing this, where I had an hour-long trip here instead of a 30-minute trip.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Oh, I lived, like, on the skirt edges of town.
Yeah.
So, bizarrebriefing.com, youtube.com/scamstuff. And with that, we will see you next time. Bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.